Please turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we want to read verses 14, 15, and 16. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This morning we showed from the scriptures that Jesus brought light into a world of darkness. Matthew emphasized that particular point as Jesus began his ministry in Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Matthew quoted a prophecy made years earlier in Isaiah 9, verses 1 and 2, to show that the people in the area known as Galilee saw a great light. They've been in darkness for a long time, but Jesus brought light to that area. This evening, we want to turn our attention to the Lord's followers. It just makes common sense that if Jesus is the light of the world, and he is, I think we learned that this morning from the scriptures, then his followers would want to be the light of the world. And according to the scriptures, Christians, the Lord's followers, are to be the light of the world. I believe that this is a lesson that we need to reflect on a regular basis, because we are surrounded by so much that we would consider to be darkness. We're not to be like the rest of the world. As I've heard it said many times, we are in the world, but we're not to be of the world. So while Jesus is the light of the world, we need to understand from the scriptures that his followers are to be the light of the world. We were just singing that song, Oh, to be like thee. I believe that one song pretty much sums up our lesson. We need to be familiar with the Lord's example, and then we need to follow it. If we will do that to the very best of our ability, then we will be accomplishing the Lord's will of being the light of the world. This whole world needs light. As John said a long time ago in 1 John chapter 5, the whole world lies in wickedness. Well, that's true, but the Lord's followers are to be the light of the world. Let's first look at these instructions that Jesus gave in the verses we read just a moment ago. We want to consider what the Lord said in its context. Whenever you study scriptures, always study them in their proper context. Well, you'll notice right off the bat, since these verses are in Matthew chapter 5, that Jesus included these instructions in his Sermon on the Mount. It's found in chapters 5, 6, and 7. Jesus dealt with a number of very important subjects in that sermon. As a matter of fact, just the other day, I received a publication, and the whole publication was devoted to a study of the Sermon on the Mount. And in the editorial, the author referred to this as the greatest sermon ever preached. And I believe that's right. We're blessed to have it recorded for us. Sometimes I like to make this observation. You can read this entire sermon just at a normal pace in between 18 and 22 minutes. Depends on how fast you read. I have a series of sermons consisting of 26 lessons based on this one sermon. I honestly don't know how the Lord covered so much material, so much information in one sermon. And he did it well. It made quite an impression upon the people who heard that sermon. because when he finished, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Why? Because he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So this one sermon made quite an impression upon the people who heard it. Well, Jesus began his sermon by presenting what we call the Beatitudes. They're found in Matthew 5, verses 3 through 12. And in those Beatitudes, Jesus showed how people in a variety of categories will be blessed. And the blessings he mentioned are tremendous blessings. They're not available to just anyone. But if we will comply with the Lord's qualifications, if we will meet his requirements, we are assured that we will receive those very special blessings. What would it be like to see God? Well, that'd be a special blessing, wouldn't it? In verse 8, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." We all agree that seeing God is a very special blessing. That's not available to just everyone. Jesus said that blessing is available to those who are pure in heart. So in the Beatitudes, at the beginning of the Lord's sermon, he showed how people in a variety of categories will receive some very special blessings. Now, after he gave the Beatitudes, he spent just a moment or two on the importance of influence. He dealt with influence in verses 13 through 16. He first talked about the fact that his followers are the salt of the earth. Now, what good is salt that has lost its saltiness? Not good for anything. Well, what was the Lord teaching? He was teaching about the importance of maintaining proper influence in the world. But then he went on to identify his followers as the light of the world, once again referring to the influence that his followers are to have. We're to let our light shine before others. I always like to mention something that Teresa's dad in a sermon, I know I've mentioned this many times, but it made an impression on me way back then when I was a younger man. I've always tried to remember it. I think he'd be happy to know that I remembered something that he preached. But in dealing with these particular verses, he made the observation that Jesus said, "Let your lights shine." He did not say, "Shine your lights." There's a difference. The Lord said we're to let our light shine. Well, how do we do that? Well, we let our light shine before others through the good works that we do. You know, that has something to do with the motives behind our good works. If we have the motive of trying to please the Lord and trying to help people, well, that's going to have a great influence upon someone who's observing our behavior. But if we do good works for the purpose of drawing attention to self, that's the wrong motive, and that will not accomplish the good that the Lord wants us to accomplish. Well, we're to let our light shine before others, and we do that through our good works. A couple of verses to keep in mind with this matter of doing good works. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." If we'll follow those instructions, we'll be doing what the Lord wants us to do. We will be letting our light shine before others. And you just never know when our good works just might influence someone to glorify God. And that's what Jesus said. He said, "Others are to see your good works." By doing good works, we're letting our light shine. And they just might be led or influenced to glorify God. Wouldn't that be wonderful to lead someone else to the Lord? Well, that's what Jesus was teaching when he identified his followers as the light of the world. He was dealing with the importance of influence. Everybody has influence. whether we want to admit it or not, whether we recognize it or not, we all have influence. Someone is observing our behavior. And you know, while we would like to think that everybody has good motives when they observe our behavior, we have to understand that some people do not. They'd like to try to find us making a slip or making a mistake. But remember, there were people who followed the Lord for that purpose. Jesus never gave in to what they wanted. He always set the proper example because he understood the importance of influence. If our Lord did not set the proper example, then how could we possibly follow it? How could we sing that song, "Oh, to be like thee"? Well, that's a beautiful song. It teaches a very beautiful lesson. Well, our good works just might influence someone to glorify God. You know, that's true. But the opposite is also true. If we don't display the right type of works, that could be detrimental to somebody. We would use the expression, it could just turn somebody off. Well, I'm sure we've all seen people behave in ways that were not good. Even sometimes members of the church. But we have to be on guard about our influence and realize that someone is always observing our behavior. We want to influence them for good. Well, that's what the Lord wants. Well, I think we can see from these few statements that Jesus made in his great sermon, they indicate that letting our light shine is a very important matter. We're to be the light of the world. But as I've also said many times, not only does the Bible teach us what the Lord wants us to do, if we'll dig for it, we'll find that the Bible also teaches us how to accomplish that. There are a number of instructions given in the New Testament letters that if we follow, will help us to be the light of the world as the Lord desires. Well, let's take the time to look at a few of them. We won't be able to consider every single passage in the New Testament, but let's look at a few very important verses. Let's look at Romans chapter 13. I think you'll see that these verses we're going to read in various ways mention light. They help us to be the light of the world. Romans chapter 13, let's start at verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now notice that there are two things we're instructed to do in this verse. Number one, we're to cast off the works of darkness. And as we go through these instructions, you will see that they're both negative and positive in nature. Some of them deal with things that we're not to participate in, things that we're to remove or cast off. And then other instructions are positive in that they teach us what to do. They teach us things to put on. Well, notice that both types of instructions are found in this one verse. Number one, we're to cast off the works of darkness. Well, darkness would hinder our ability to be the light of the world. So the works of darkness are to be cast off. They're to be avoided. Having done that, we're to put on the armor of light. Now let's look at verses 13 and 14 because they go into more detail concerning what is involved in casting off the works of darkness and putting on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Verses 13 and 14 give us some more detailed instructions that will help us to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. These are very important instructions that relate to being the light of the world. And you know, that letter was written to the Christians in the city of Rome. It's my understanding that there was a lot of corruption in Rome. I can just imagine some of the deeds that were done in that great city. But there was a congregation of the Lord's people right in the city of Rome. It would be important for these Christians to be the light of the world so that those who were walking in darkness would see that there is an alternative. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll read a few verses starting at verse 8. Now, this letter was written by the Apostle Paul to the Christians in the city of Ephesus. Verse 8 of Ephesians 5. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Notice that the spiritual condition of a person before he becomes a Christian is described as darkness. Before these people became Christians, they were described as being in the dark or darkness. However, there's a change that takes place when we become God's children, and that change relates to the spiritual condition of a Christian. After becoming a Christian, our spiritual condition is described as light in the Lord. Notice a contrast. Before becoming a Christian, darkness. After becoming a Christian, light in the Lord. Well, that being the case, Christians are responsible for walking as children of light. And Paul touches on the fact that walking as children of light includes bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Now, sometimes people get all upset and confused about what the fruit of the Spirit is. Now, there's no need for that confusion. Let's turn to Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit consists of 9 very special characteristics. They're listed in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. But now, this is in contrast to the works of the flesh. Those are things that are to be cast off. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. A very important part of walking as children of light is bearing the fruit of the Spirit, developing those very special characteristics. And you know, that's a lifelong process. I don't think a person could ever get to the point where he says, you know, I think I've developed enough long suffering. Now, sometimes there's a distinction made between fruit and fruits. And this might be rather technical, but the Bible describes all 9 of these as the fruit of the Spirit. If you look up the words in the original language, there's a different word ending for fruits. We can't pick and choose which of these characteristics we want to develop. You know, each person is different. One person is more inclined to be long-suffering than someone else. But that same person who is long-suffering just might be short on temperance. You see, it's important that we develop all nine of these characteristics, and that's a lifelong project. We never get to the point where we say, well, I've developed enough of this one, I'll go on to something else. The Apostle Paul said, this is the fruit of the Spirit. And walking as children of light includes bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Well, we have to use caution also concerning our associates. We need to be very careful because we will be influenced by our associates. Now, we want to have a good influence upon other people, but we have to understand that we can be influenced by others. It's easy to be good when you're around good people. It's also easy not to be so good when you're around people that are not so good. Well, we have to use caution concerning our associates. This is all a part of being the light of the world. Let's turn to the book of Philippians. Philippians 2, let's begin at verse 14. This is from the letter that Paul sent to the Christians who met in the city of Philippi. He loved these people, and they loved him. They were very close. And how grateful we need to be that he wrote this letter, because it contains some very important instructions that will help us to be the light of the world. Well, let's consider a few things written in verses 14 to 16 of Philippians 2. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Now, why is it so important to practice that? That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Well, the Lord's people are to shine as lights in the world. To accomplish this, there's something that's to be avoided. These verses say, do all things without murmurings and disputings. That's the negative part, something to be avoided. And then the positive part is hold forth the word of life. You know, when we learn instructions in God's word and then put them into practice, others can observe that. And that's one way of holding forth the word of life. Whenever I read about murmurings and disputings, I can't help but think about the children of Israel. They were in Egypt and they were being abused by Pharaoh. They asked God for a deliverer. He sent them one. He sent Moses. It took a while to convince Pharaoh for the children of Israel to leave, but the 10 plagues finally accomplished that. But it wasn't long until the children of Israel ran into difficulty. Before them was the Red Sea. Behind them was the Egyptian army. They were in a bad way. Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord caused the waters of the Red Sea to part, and the children of Israel went through, the Bible says, on dry ground. The Egyptians tried to go through that body of water. The waters came together, and the Egyptian army was destroyed. Now, you would think that seeing God demonstrate his power as he did through the plagues and then the parting of the waters on the Red Sea and seeing the Egyptian army destroyed, that people would know that God was taking care of them. On their way up to the promised land, it wasn't long before they became thirsty and they began to do what? The Bible says they murmured. It wasn't long until they began to murmur for something to eat. They murmured about this and they murmured about that. They developed a habit of murmuring. And you know, after a while, God got tired of it. He even told Moses, he said, I'm going to destroy this people and I'll make another nation from you. Moses taught us what a mediator is all about. He stood up between the children of Israel and God and reminded God of his great promises that he had made years earlier. And God changed his mind. The Lord is slow to anger and of great mercy. I just finished reading the book of Psalms, and in the last several Psalms, that statement is made a number of times. The Lord is slow to anger, and he is of great mercy. But he does get tired of murmuring from his people. And if we're going to be the light of the world, we have to avoid murmurings and disputings. Having taken care of that negative part, the Bible says, hold forth the word of life. Let's look at 1 John 1 and verse 7. Once again, we're looking at passages that will help us to be the light of the world. 1 John 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. God's people are to walk in the light as he is in the light. Now, we don't determine what the light is. God determines what the light is, and we're to walk in the light as he is in the light. Now, those who walk in the light, as God is in the light, have fellowship with him. And in addition to that, receive that very special blessing of continual cleansing of sin by the Lord's precious blood. I misunderstood that passage for a long time. I jumped to the conclusion that when it talks about having fellowship one with another, that referred to fellowship of brethren. All you have to do is look carefully at the words, especially the pronouns. Now, I know in today's world there's a lot of confusion about pronouns. There shouldn't be. But we need to pay close attention to them in this verse, as well as all verses. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, if you look at the context, you'll see that John was writing about God. We have fellowship one with another. That is, we have fellowship with God if we walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Well, we're to walk in the light as God is in the light. And if we do that, we enjoy some very special blessings. We have fellowship with the Father, and we're continually cleansed by his Son's precious blood. Well, in the beginning, the world needed light. Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2. In Genesis 1 and verse 3, God took care of that problem. He said, let there be light, and there was light. So, in the beginning, the world needed light, and God provided it. The world needed spiritual light. Jesus provided that when he came. Well, the world needs light today. I think we all agree with that. And that's where we come in. The Lord's people are to do our best to provide it. The scriptures clearly teach that Christians are to be the light of the world. Thankfully, the scriptures also teach us how to fulfill that responsibility. There are things that are to be avoided, and then there are positive things that are to be done. We've looked at a handful of those scriptures this evening that will help us to accomplish that. God help us as we go about our daily lives in this coming week to remember that someone is observing our behavior. And the Lord wants us to be the light of the world. And how glad we need to be that Jesus brought light into a world of darkness. Sometimes when I'm watching news broadcast, I get a little bit discouraged. Do you ever feel that way? And every once in a while, I just have to say, that's enough. That's enough. I've had it for one day. Well, we need to be grateful that Jesus brought light into a world of darkness. And while we might become frustrated or disappointed because of the abundance of darkness, let's never forget that there is light. And the best is yet to come. In heaven, there won't be any need of the sun. There won't be any need of the moon. Why? Because the Lord God Almighty will provide all the light that's needed. And that will be forever and ever.